Hallelujah. I wasn't for sure what to preach on today. I had three or four thoughts, but after everything that's happened today, God's good. Amen. God's good. Talking about Jesus. Amen. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. We're going to be taking a message from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 today about focusing on Jesus. And as I said, as everything went today, this is what we're supposed to be talking about. Amen. I'm going to read it first from the Message Bible just because it's good. Then I'm going to read it from a couple other translations. I think one of them's the Passion and one of them's the Amplified. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Thank you, Father, Holy Spirit, for just coming in and ushering in and just doing what you do. You are a good, good Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for enlightening us to the truth of your word, the promises of your word, in which we stand on. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Message Bible says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with everything along the way, cross, shame, and whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again. And again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Hallelujah. I think this is the Amplified version. Since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Another one translation says, looking away from all that distracts to Jesus, who is the leader and source of our faith, given the first incentive for our behalf, and is also his finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. We look away from the natural realm, and we fasten our gaze on Jesus, who birthed faith within us, who leads us forward into faith perfection. When we read the writing of Paul, he associates a lot to athletics. And if you go back and study, I won't go into all that, you'll understand why. But he always talks about running the race and keeping the faith. So the path has already been planned out for us. And the good news is that no matter what we go through here, at the times we fail miserably sometimes, you know, we win. That's the hope that's set before us, is that we win. Amen? So it's the beginning of the race and the end, that middle part, that we don't always get all the information on what's going to happen. But we know that we win. And we go through some tough stuff in this life. Amen? But he said, because I've overcome, you can overcome the tribulations of this world. Amen? So, and the living out this life is that we have resources literally outside of this world. And we're going to be talking throughout the scriptures, the message today, how that we're not to fix our gaze on these things that are temporary. But our resources is literally outside of this world. It's called supernatural. Amen. That's where our hope is at, the supernatural help. Hallelujah. So the enemy throws distractions our way to get us off focus. Ain't none of us ever been distracted, have we? Okay. When you are in a marathon race, if any of you run marathon races, and when you fall down, you don't get back up and start at the beginning again. What do you do? You keep your eyes focused, because pretty soon you're going to see that finish line. You just get back up and start all over again. And when a marathon runner is running, the most important thing they can do is not to be distracted, because they will lose their focus. And they will listen to what their body's telling them. They will pace themselves. Amen. So we can learn a lot from the marathon racing thing. Amen. So you don't get back up and start at the beginning, but you just get back up and start over. And like Martha and Sister Laverne were saying, that one step. The thing is getting back up. That's the first step. Just get up. So, and I saw a picture of a marathon race one time where someone had literally gave out. And this person had went through a lot in life, and they had picked themselves back up, and they started running to get some focus back in their life. And right before they got to the finish line, she gave out. Her body literally gave out, and she just slumped down. But you know what the miracle of the story was? And oh, it was awesome. Here come two runners. Whoo! Up beside of her. One of them grabbed one arm, the other one grabbed the other, and they picked her up. And she kept stepping to get to the finish line. And that's what we do as brothers and sisters in the Lord. When somebody's down or falls down, we don't kick them. So, well, you shouldn't have done that. You're supposed to be a Christian. You've been talking in tongues in church. You've been doing this in church. You've been doing that. And now you've fallen down. We don't do that. We go along beside them. We pick them up. Say, come on. Come on, you can finish this thing. Jesus has got confidence in you, and so do I. Amen. So anyway, I thought that was just neat when I seen that. And I thought, wow, as Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord, whether in this church or outside, we are here to lift and to encourage us up, encourage one another. And the one thing the Lord showed me a long time is he said, Shirley, never judge anybody at where they're at in their relationship with me. Because at one time, you may have been there. We don't judge anybody in where they're at in their race in this life. Because we're all learning and we're all growing. And the point is to always have a teachable spirit. Because ain't none of us got there yet. We don't know it all yet. Amen. So let us, that requires action. Let us, the Bible says, that requires action. Participation on our part. And that's what God is wanting. He's wanting someone to come into participation with him. It's like Martha said, he's already done it. So he said, you know, come on, I need you to participate with what I've already done. And that means agreeing with what he said. So he said that the participation on our part, so let us lay aside every weight. You know, when a marathon runner begins to run and begins to practice, it begins to get out there and run, they strip off, and you've seen some of them with their clothes on, they don't leave much. You know, they strip off every heavy thing upon them so that they can be free to run the race that they have been training for. You know, so it says, let us lay aside every weight that keeps us from running this race that we've been called to. So marathon runners don't bulk up when they're running a race. They don't put a sweatsuit on. It don't matter how cold the temperatures is. You know, they don't put fleece on. They don't put heavy weights on. They did that when they were training. But when they get out there and they start running, you know, they have the least amount of clothes on. Why? Because they got rid of that weight. Some of us need to get rid of some of the weight that's got us down. Amen. And the sin, the Bible said, which so easily ensnare us. Sin means to miss the mark, as an arrow shot missing the target. You know? So what happens in our life, those little things, those little sins that we think, it don't matter if I do this or not. Everybody's to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. The Word says that, you know, there are things that the Word plainly says that we're not to do. There are some things that we have to work it out ourselves. And that's why we don't judge no one. You know, if it's not in there and it's this, then the Bible says you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's some things that we know not to do. Amen. They are commandments from God. You know, and so sin means to miss the mark. What is that little thing in your life that you think, well, it's not much of a sin, it's not much of something, but it's causing you to miss the mark to which God has called you to run this race? You know, when you say, well, I don't find it in there, so I can keep on doing it. Is it the weight that's weighing you down? If it is, then you need to get rid of it. I'll be the first to say, I'll jump on that. Amen? So whatever that little sin is, you think, well, I don't see it in there. God said I couldn't do it, so I'm going to keep on doing it. But what if it's weighing you down to keep you from the purpose and plan of God? You need to get rid of it. Just because God didn't say it in his word does not mean that you're supposed to not do it. Amen? Amen? So you look in the mirror and say, okay, now what can I do? Judge yourself. Amen. Let the word. Amen. So what is that one thing in your life that is holding you back from going forth in the race of life that is causing you to miss what God has sent for you to do? We live in a world, as you know, of social media ablaze. You know, if something should happen that all the internet service went out, I'm not sure if people could even know how to talk. I'm not sure if they would even know how to use their hands. I would not be sure if they would even know how to communicate. Amen? So it seems as people are getting smarter in the area of technology. We as a society are getting less and less smart. I put dumber in there, but I didn't think that sounded right. So I put less and less smart in the area of common sense. You know, you don't want to call people dumb. You might get smacked because they may not all be all the way delivered yet. But anyway, as people get smarter and smarter in the area of technology, it seems like society is getting less and less smart in the area of common sense. So it's easy to find any information that you want by searching for it. Someone said recently, if you don't know what's going on in your life, look on Facebook, someone else does. So thank them for it. So someone was starting, you know, not to feel so well, and with one click, they decided to Google what their symptoms were. Jennifer, you're going to love this. Jennifer, especially since you work in a doctor's office. So someone was starting not to feel so well with one click on the computer, and Jan's a nurse. And we've had a lot of nurses over the years in this church. You know why I think that's prophetic? Because God said this is a healing station. Amen. God said this is a healing station. The people's going to come in and go out. So the ones that are going out, let them go. God's going to bring people in that are supposed to be here. They may not supposed to be here. They may have got what they needed and they moved on. Praise God. They're taking what they learned here and giving it to somebody else. That's the way ministry works. Amen. So anyway, they started not feeling so good. So with one click, and that's all it takes is one click. You know, something comes to the house and it's a package. Kenneth said, you order something? I don't know. I may have clicked it. You know, you click and it just shows up at your door. It's amazing. But someone's not feeling so well, so with one click, they decided to get on there and Google their symptoms. The more they look, the worse they feel it because they had everything that they seen was wrong with them. Because with one symptom, you could have a dozen things. Amen? With that one symptom. So after finally searching and not having a heart attack in the midst of it and freaking out, they, you know, put it down to at least three things they could possibly have. So after searching it, they narrowed it down to three things. Okay, this is what's wrong with it. This is the three things I have. So I've got to call the doctor. I've got to make an appointment. I've got my diagnosis, so I need to go in and get a prescription for it. Amen. So after talking to the doctor and explaining to him what the diagnosis was, I've diagnosed myself, and this is what the problem is, and this is what the medication is that I need. And so I've just come in for you to give me a prescription, so, and then I'll be out of here. So after a few moments of silence, the doctor looked at him and said, you see all those degrees on the wall? Well, yes, doc, it reads, yeah, I see them. Your name's on every one of them. You went all those years, so you got some experience. Exactly. I'm the doctor and you're not. I made that story up. It was good, though, wasn't it? So what I learned from this is, I mean, I didn't read that nowhere. I actually made that up. So what I learned from this is God is God, and I'm not. Amen. God is God, and I'm not. So in this race of life, I've got to believe that and walk in that fact. There's some things I may not understand unless he allows to show me through the Holy Spirit. So it's easy to get distracted and look away from the word to other sources. We live life in Google instead of the word. No, his word has his name all over it. This is his degree. And it would pay us a lot of good if we paid attention to what the degree says and realized that he's got experience. So it says, look, I'm the example. Look at what I've been through. Amen? So he know, and the next thing I've learned is he knows me and what is best for me. And I don't have to Google to find out who I am in Christ. Thank God for 12 steps, 10 steps, 6 steps, 2 steps, 3 steps. Thank God for all those things. But when you get to the end of working those things out, what have you got that's going to sustain you in the midnight hour? What have you got to sustain you when that addiction comes back knocking? Amen. What have you got to sustain you? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Amen. So he has to, when I go to him in prayer, I take the time to listen to what he has to say. After all, he is the one who has all the experience, and he is the example that we are to follow. In other words, when I go to him and this race of life and all these things are happening, I don't have to say, okay, now I'm going to Google this and I'm going to tell God what I need. And when I go to him in prayer, I'm going to tell him. I'm just going to tell him. Woo! Hebrews 4:15 says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. 1 Peter 2:21 says, for this too you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us as an example that you should walk in his steps. Walk in the degree that God's got. Amen, Jesus, amen. The word tells us in Hebrews 12:2 again, looking unto Jesus, or that word means looking away from all that distracts to Jesus, is another translation. Looking in the Greek means away from the word, signifies undivided attention. I'm not talking about this word. Signifies undivided. Yeah, it was. Looking in the Greek means away from. That's in the word. Signifies undivided attention. Looking away from all distractions. What for? In order to fix one gaze on one object. That's the purpose of distractions, is to get your eyes off of Jesus. As in Hebrews 12:2, having eyes only for Jesus. So I ask you the question today, what is your gaze fixed up on? Where are you looking for help? As a figure of speech, are you living life in Google or the Word? David tells us in Psalms 121, verse 1, I look to the mountains. Does not my strength come from mountains? Does my strength come from mountains? No. My strength comes from God who made heaven, earth, and mountains. Amen. So the Passion Translation reads it, I look up to the mountains and hills, longing for God's help. I look here and I look there and I look up there and I look everywhere for God's help. But then I realize, after looking at everything else, but then I realized that our true help and protection comes only from the Lord, our Creator. Can I get an amen? Amen. And you know, when we do all that looking, God's still there waiting for us to come back. He's still waiting for us to come back. Who made the heavens and earth? Looking away from all that will distract. Dis, D-I-S, in distract is the displacement of attraction. You know, dis is a displacement of something. So distract means to draw away or divert as the mind or attention. What is attracting your attention? Distractions are things that come along to take us away from what we need or should be attracted to for our help in this life. Distraction comes along and says, this is what you need to do to help yourself. This is what you need to do to help yourself. Get the mind of the Lord, and he will tell you what to do. Distractions are the little foxes, as we have said before, that comes into our lives. And we get that scripture in Song of Solomon 2:15. The Shulamite woman says, you must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. For they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I planted within you. Foxes were considered to be destructive animals that could destroy valuable vineyards in the Bible. And that's where all their food and everything came. So they had to protect their vineyards. So foxes were considered very destructive animals. With many images in the book of Solomon, foxes were considered a symbolic image also. And as the Shulamite woman verbalizes her love for King Solomon, she speaks of the need to catch the foxes that spoil the vines. I take this blossoming vineyard as the growing romance between the Shulamite woman and King Solomon. And we should be in a love relationship with Jesus. And the enemy wants us to distract us from understanding that love. And as I've said before, once we get a revelation and a rhema word of God of how much he loves us, it will settle all the problems in our life. Because at that point, we'll realize the things that are happening to us is the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I love you enough that I've come to give you life and life abundantly. So, you know, the foxes represent potential problems that could damage their relationship. She said, let's take preventive measures to protect our love from anything that can harm it. That's why we need to say, okay, that little sin that I don't think much about, say, I'm getting rid of that thing. It don't say anything about the word, whether I need to do it or don't do it. But if it's hindering you, get rid of it. It's hindering you. It's a weight that's keeping you from running the race that God has called us to run. Amen. So let's get rid of the little foxes. There's an abundance of power in receiving the revelation of how much God loves you. The enemy wants you separated to keep you separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus through the little foxes that are distractions that come along in our life. And there are some distractions that we're not even aware of that are distractions. We think it's just part of living. The distractions of the enemy put you in your path to keep you from being all God has created and called you for, to keep you continuing to believe the promises of the word. Distractions keep you from growing in your relationship with God. And the enemy knows enough to know that if you can get that vertical relationship right, that's between you and God, if that vertical relationship is strong and you're not allowing anything come between you and Jesus, amen, you prayer life and you talk to him and worship him and love on him, let him love on you. He knows that if you can get that right and learn the power of that relationship, it's going to flow out to all other relationships in your life. First to yourself, because you're going to be ministered to. And if you don't like yourself, how are you going to like anybody else? Amen. If you think you're unworthy, what makes you think you're going to see other people as worthy? So he wants to keep you those foxes and running the rest of this life is to hinder your relationship with Jesus so that you don't have that relationship with others. Amen. The Passion Bible says we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze into Jesus. Looking away from the natural realm. We fasten our eyes on Jesus. That's where our supernatural help comes from. So looking off or from the world, all secular concerns to Jesus and all the spiritually and heavenly things that are connected with him. Thus, when we're connected with Jesus, we're connected to all the heavenly things that he has provided for us. Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the word our is not in the original translation. Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that word our, take it out. Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Because it's not our faith, it's his faith. Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. This is how God wants us to live in this race of life. Looking unto Jesus with faith that he's already given us. Not our into ourselves, not our faith. You know, you say, well, you begin to question, do I have enough faith to be healed? Yes. Do I have enough faith to run this race in life? Yes. Well, if I'm lacking in faith, you're not. Do I have the right kind of faith to do what he's called me to do and tell him to do? Yes. Because it's not your faith, it's his faith that he's given you. We begin to play. When we begin to play with those thoughts and begin to question, as I said before, it opens the door to the enemy that causes doubt. Well, if God really said this, so we begin to play with those thoughts that we're focusing on ourselves and our faith instead of Christ and his finished work at Calvary. That's what we need to be focused on. It's the finished work of the cross that we talked about so much this morning. And when we're focused on that finished work of the cross, it's going to build your faith up that God has given you. Amen. The more you focus on your faith, the more faith slips away. It becomes a distraction at that point. Because you're wanting to get more faith and more faith and more faith and more faith. You've got enough faith to move mountains. All you got to do is start using what you got. Amen. And when you start using what you got, you begin to see things happen and your faith gets stronger. Yeah. And it gets stronger and stronger. Soon you're laying hands on people and they get healed. Soon you start prophesying to people without thinking about it. You just start praising without thinking about it. Amen. Don't have to work yourself up to praise. Amen. Because God is so good. Amen. So the more you focus on your faith, the more it slips away. It becomes a distraction. Focus on the finished work of Christ and then begin to see it as God's grace toward you. God sees that as faith. You have enough faith in you to run this race in life. lay aside everything that hinders and run. Let's stand this morning and run this race with faith. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word today, Father. Thank you for your encouragement that we received this morning. Thank you for renewed hope today that we are in this life to run this race. We know what's going to happen at the end. We already know the outcome. So in the middle of life, in the middle of the beginning and the end, these things that we're walking, just walking through is nothing compared to the glory that we're going to see someday. Oh, Jesus, we can overcome because you've overcome. We can run this race because you have already set it out before us. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you. I thank you for each person that's come today, Lord. I thank you for the purpose that they have in this earth, that they've not been born into this time accidentally, because nothing with you is an accident. It's on purpose, and it's on target. And I speak into your lives today, everyone that's here and everyone that hears the sound of my voice, that you are worthy to receive every one of God's promises. Never put a but in the front of God's promises. Just receive it and thank him for it. God says you're blessed coming and you're blessed going. Hallelujah. He's made you the head and not the tail. He's caused you to prosper. Everything your hands touch is highly favored by Daddy God. He is here to meet every need that you have, body, soul, and spirit. He's made you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved you. Yes, we're on this race. And we're not finished yet, but we're going through. Amen. We're going through. We are going through, church. Hallelujah. Our best day is right now. More to come. I speak God's blessings over you for this week. And remember that today is the first day of this week. Amen.